I want to thank Hank Milius, President and CEO of Meridian Health Services, for the opportunity to step in for Hank, which is really a tough thing to do. Hank, sorry you couldn't be here, but he kind of turned the keys over to me today. It's kind of like a father giving their kid the car keys and hoping they return. So we'll see how this goes. But again, thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for being here today, guests and members of the chamber. There were two things that I found out in a brief conversation with the Lieutenant Governor that are really great. She and my daughter share the same first name, spelled the same way, so that's great. And we are both both majored in political science in college. Obviously, you did better with that than I did. So, but anyway, into the into our introduction. Phenomenal career. I'm going to kind of hit the highlights here, but I know you're a proud graduate of Mater Dei High School in Evansville, and after that went on to Purdue University, where again you majored in political science, and had served as the state auditor from January 2014 to December 2016. Before becoming auditor, she served as state representative for House District 78, encompassing parts of Vandenberg and Warwick counties. She was elected to that seat in 2005 and served as vice chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, as well as Public Health Committee. Throughout her years of public service, she has been focused and committed to programs and services for people with disabilities. She was honored to receive the 2012 Public Policy Award from the ARC of Indiana for her work with people with disabilities, and was named Legislator of the Year in 2011 by the Indiana Association of Rehabilitation Facilities. Prior to serving in the House of Representatives, Suzanne spent 8 years as auditor of Vandenberg County, and during that time, her office received its first clean bill of health from the State Board of Accounts. She then went on to serve as Vandenberg County Commissioner until joining the House, where she presided as president of that body during the third year in office. So even though I am too a political science major, I have asked the question, and it sometimes comes through our minds, do we really know everything that the Lieutenant Governor does? I know she does a lot more than come to chamber events to have a lunch. Well, so I looked at really what's in her portfolio of responsibilities, and it's quite, I think, astounding. So I'd like to kind of name those off. So she presides over Indiana State Department of Agriculture, the Indiana House and Community Development Authority, Office of Defense Development, Office of Community and Rural Affairs, Office of Tourism Development, and in addition, also serves as chairman of the Indiana Counterterrorism and Security Council, and of course, president of the Indiana Senate. And then also chairman of the newly created Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Task Force. So as you can see, a lot of her efforts have been involved with those in need and with disabilities. And we commend you for that as part of your career. And then on the personal side, Suzanne is married to her husband, Larry, and together they have a grown daughter, Courtney. So if you would please join me in welcoming Indiana's Lieutenant Governor, the Honorable Suzanne Crouch.
Well, thank you, Brent, for that kind introduction and the invitation to be here with you today. You mentioned the many duties and responsibilities that I have, and really, I probably have more duties and responsibilities than any other lieutenant governor in the country. In most instances, the lieutenant governor serves if the governor is incapacitated, which I do. But in addition here, as Brent mentioned, I'm president of the Senate and I head up 5 agencies. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that that's the way it is in Indiana, because we are so fiscally conservative that if we give you a title and pay you money, we're going to tell you what to do, right? We're not going to leave it up to your own devices. But anyway, it's such an honor for me to be here today with you all. And I'd like to congratulate the Muncie Chamber for 125th anniversary this year. You've been the voice for business here in Muncie and Delaware County since 1894. And I learned at lunch that you're one of the 8 original chambers in the country for the U.S. Chamber. So congratulations to you all. That is something that you should be very, very proud of. I know the governor and I are proud of everything that you're doing here in Muncie. You know, traveling our great state, continuing the conversation that the governor and I started 2 years ago is really my favorite thing to do as lieutenant governor. I enjoy sharing our ideas that we're embracing to grow the economy and increase opportunities and invest in infrastructure and technology. And while it's energizing to share that good news, it's equally exciting for me to hear from business leaders and entrepreneurs about what you're doing here in Muncie to make a difference. It is those conversations that helps us realize how the free market is transforming our cities, our towns, and our small communities. During this budget session, many ideas that come to the Indiana General Assembly will come from entrepreneurs and business people who serve as part-time legislators. I was one of those legislators whose real-world experience served me in the General Assembly, and it continues to inform my decisions as we look for opportunities to grow jobs and increase the quality of life for Hoosiers here in Indiana. So let me be perfectly clear. You are the ones that are making a difference, not government policies or politicians, but you, the business leaders and the entrepreneurs, because you are the ones that are blazing a trail for others. You have a dream, and then that dream becomes a vision. And then that vision becomes reality through your hard work. And the results of that hard work is evident all over Muncie. And let me share a few examples with you. WSP recently announced plans to invest $75 million in the old BorgWarner campus, creating hundreds of jobs. And last year, I was fortunate enough to visit the Erskine Green Institute. In fact, I just stopped by there this morning before coming here. And they are doing incredible work in creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities and helping us address the workforce shortage. And just last Monday, the Indiana Chamber recognized First Merchants Bank as one of the top 125 places to work here in Indiana. So the governor and I are so proud of your contributions, and we thank you for your commitment to the state of Indiana and your devotion to Muncie and to the taxpayers that live here. Over the next few months, we'll be celebrating or concentrating our efforts with our partners in the Indiana General Assembly. And in my 14 years of being associated with the General Assembly, this year more than any other has been marked by a spirit of civility, collaboration, and cooperation. Now, I suspect there are some in this room that hope that the Indiana General Assembly doesn't do too much, right? My husband's one of those individuals. I have an apartment and I live in Indianapolis during the week and travel to Evansville every weekend because that's where my home is and that's where my husband of 40 years is. He's very supportive, but he was not leaving Evansville. And so when we talk during the week, he will always ask me if the legislature was in session. And if I say, no, they didn't meet today, he'll say, oh, well, good, the taxpayers are safe for one more day. But seriously, with that said, please know that Governor Holcomb and I are committed to fiscal discipline and ensuring that your tax dollars are spent wisely and are invested as they should be. You know, with that in mind, the Holcomb administration is working on a number of measures, and I'd like to share just a couple with you in this General Assembly as they are specific to economic development. House Bill 1002 deals with expanding opportunity for career and technical education. And this measure will provide better job training and workforce development and more closely align it with our K through 12 education. House Bill 1010 will offer some specific property and income tax deductions for those who have served our country and the survivors of those who have paid the ultimate price. And then Senate Bill 563 establishes the Small Business Innovation Voucher Program that provides research and technical assistance to small businesses. Now, that's just a few of the measures that we are supporting and working on. There are a host of other measures that deal with education, public safety, and services that are provided to the taxpayer. The governor and I couldn't have better partners than you here in this room today, and the men and women who you have sent to the General Assembly to represent you and your community. It is my life's greatest honor to serve as the 52nd Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Indiana and a partner to our Governor Eric Holcomb. And the title Lieutenant Governor seems a little surreal a lot of days because I didn't grow up in a political home. But I grew up in a close family and in a tight-knit community. And my father in particular gave me the confidence to take on big challenges. I remember a specific time in grade school. I was probably 10 or 11, and I'd experienced a growth spurt, and I was actually just 3 inches shorter than I am today. So, needless to say, I was taller than all the kids in the school and most of the teachers. And as kids do at that age, they teased me and called me the Jolly Green Giant. And for a young girl struggling to fit in, it was a very painful time in my life. And I remember talking to my father, and what he said helps to define me even to today. He said, "Suzanne, when kids are making fun of you, it's because they themselves are insecure. So embrace it, become part of that joke, and you know, turn it around." So the next time they called me the Jolly Green Giant, I responded with a hearty ho, ho, ho. And the teasing stopped, and I started to make friends. But you see, my father taught me a very valuable lesson in life. He taught me that when I could respect myself and accept myself in spite of my imperfections, then I could accept and respect the differences in other people. And I soon came to realize that it is those differences that adds to the beauty of our world. Now, I share that personal story with you to illustrate how important families are as we work to raise strong and dependable young people. But communities also play a role. My family provided me the confidence to take on big challenges and set big goals. My community gave me the education and the environment to learn and to grow. And then my country gave me the freedom to choose my own path and take that experience and confidence in education and apply it to my own unique future. But my parents also instilled in me other values, some common sense values like don't spend more than you make, and work hard every day, and treat other people as you'd like to be treated. And so while those role around my role over the years has changed, those guiding principles remain and those core values remain with me even to today. Abraham Lincoln spoke to those core values when he talked about the role government should play. Abraham Lincoln said that government should do for people only what they cannot do better for themselves and no more. And so we must continue to fight the problems of too much and inefficient government. We need to deliver services efficiently and effectively to those that need them. But as Hoosiers, we must always measure our progress not by the amount of assistance we give people, but by the number of people we get off of assistance and back on their own two feet. We understand that our future is being built today. And as a result of 14 years of conservative fiscal leadership, Indiana's economy is strong and it is getting stronger. Allow me to share a few statistics with you. Indiana leads the country in advanced manufacturing. We're number one in the Midwest. We're fifth in the nation for our business environment. We have the second most affordable state with the second best infrastructure. And we're one of 12 states with a AAA credit bond rating by all three independent rating agencies. These are incredible accomplishments, but they can't be attributed to government alone. You know, conservative leadership may light a path, but it is you, the hardworking men and women, who are making the sacrifices and taking the risks that have put our state on a path to prosperity. You know, we are so focused on transforming Indiana and taking it to the next level and preparing it for future generations. And one of the ways we prepare for the future is by expanding broadband here in our state. Because broadband is the enabling infrastructure for our innovation economy. Access to affordable high-speed internet affects workforce, healthcare, education, economic development, and quality of life. And during the course of the past year, we have taken a number of steps to expand broadband, including our broadband readiness program, which has assisted five communities here in Indiana, preparing them for broadband expansion. We also have created a cabinet-level position in the Lieutenant Governor's Office, Director of Broadband Opportunities, and Scott Rudd was named, and he serves as a single point of contact in state government, connecting communities and resources to providers. Last year, Purdue University released a study that confirmed what we already knew to be true. Too many Hoosiers do not have access to internet. In fact, the study said that there are almost 500,000 Hoosiers that are in internet darkness. And if all those Hoosiers were connected, it would result in an additional $1 billion to our economy every single year. So we're investing $100 million in broadband expansion here throughout Indiana. And we will be announcing tomorrow the application process whereby providers can apply for the funds to be able to expand broadband throughout Indiana to our unserved areas. Grant recipients will be awarded up to $5 million each as long as they provide at least a 20% match. And by expanding broadband, Governor Holcomb and I want to ensure that rural Indiana and the Hoosiers that call it home have equal access to technology and opportunities for growth in their communities. Part of delivering a better quality of life for Hoosiers is having a network of biking, hiking, and pedestrian trails. And as you all know, Indiana is blessed with natural beauty, and we want Hoosiers and visitors to our state to be able to enjoy that natural beauty. So we have an opportunity to do even more. We have an opportunity to develop more trails and to connect the trails that already exist, creating a world-class network of trails here in Indiana. And to this end, we are investing $90 million to be able to expand our trail system here in Indiana. Our goal is by 2020, we would like every Hoosier to have a trail within 5 miles of their home. The first round of grant applications of $25 million just closed last week, and we look forward to working to help those communities that will be announced as winners to be able to develop and be a part of that world-class network of trails that we are working on developing, because we want a quality of play strategy. A place where you play is often a place where you stay. And we want people to come here and play in Indiana, but we also want them to stay. Attracting people to Indiana is absolutely critical in addressing our workforce shortage. We have a 3.6% unemployment rate. Welcome statistic, well below the national average. But it has resulted in 85,000 jobs currently unfilled in Indiana. So we are skilling up our unemployed, our underemployed. Some of our inmates at DOC are taking part in our last mile program. We're doing what we can to be able to skill up our workforce, because our employers deserve workers who have the work ethic and the skills to get the job done. But that's still not enough. We have got to attract people to Indiana, and we have an opportunity to do that through our Next Level Veterans Initiative, which I chair. Every year, 200,000 men and women leave the military. Half of them will face a period of unemployment. And our Next Level Veterans Initiative is looking at attracting those men and women to Indiana, matching them up with employers, and then welcoming them into communities that they can call home. Last December, we took a delegation to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, to start working with those men and women who are transitioning out of service and attracting them here to Indiana. We also have requested funding for the Next Level Veterans Initiative in this budget session, and feel confident that we will be able to take it really to the next level. And already to date, we've had 560 servicemen and women who have applied to Indiana and have accessed our website. And we know that when, and we believe that when it is fully funded and operational at the end of 3 years, we'll be able to attract 5,000 additional men and women here to Indiana and welcome them as Hoosiers every single year. So we are well on our way to taking Indiana to the next level. But if we are truly committed to a legacy of excellence in this state, we must elevate all Hoosiers to the next level, including Hoosiers with disabilities. Abraham Lincoln said that the best way to predict your future is to create it. And we have an opportunity to create a brighter future for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities through our state's 10-year comprehensive plan. There are approximately 100,000 Hoosiers with intellectual and developmental disabilities, Hoosiers with cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, and autism. And we want to ensure that they have equal opportunity to life. And we want to ensure that they can access the same services that each and every one of us access, because our friends with disabilities are merely just friends with different abilities. And they have the same dreams as every other Hoosier. They want to have friends and have a job and love and be loved and be successful in life. And we have an opportunity to ensure a better quality of life for all Hoosiers with disabilities across our state. So I just want to assure you that our Holcomb administration will continue to engage by being focused on transparency and results. And we will work with you as businessmen and women to rein in regulations and to provide certainty so you can make strong business decisions. It's such an honor to serve as the 52nd Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Indiana. And what I want to truly remind you that what is really great about Indiana are her people, you in this room today, Hoosiers all across our state, hardworking men and women who know that when we come together and we work together, we can achieve great success. And as businessmen and women, you have the capacity and the knowledge to make the right choice and determine your own future. And just as you are working to leave your businesses and your communities better for your children and your grandchildren. Governor Holcomb and I want to work alongside you so that we can leave our state better for future generations. So thank you again for the invitation to be with you today. Congratulations on 125 years. Governor Holcomb and I can't wait for the next 125. God bless you. Thank you.
Governor, we had a question, if you're willing to address some questions. And just a reminder.
I'll try.
Okay, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please submit it on a card and just raise your hand and we'll come and grab it. This one is from someone who is interested in tourism. And of course, we in Muncie are very proud of the tourist opportunities here. So the question is, well, it starts with a statement, they usually do. It says, I understand there are going to be some changes in the Department of Tourism. Can you elaborate on what those will be?
Absolutely. We have a bill that is moving through the Indiana General Assembly. It passed unanimously out of the House. And what this bill will do is, and I can't remember the number. I never can remember numbers. I think it's 1115, but I'm not shaking. Okay. Obviously, other people pay attention to the numbers. But it's House Bill 1115, which passed unanimously out of the House. And what that, well, let me back up. In 2017, the Indiana General Assembly created a task force to look at tourism, not just in Indiana, but what other states are doing with their tourism agencies, the infrastructure of it, and the funding of it. Because while our tourism numbers have increased over the past 8 years, we only command a 1.17% share of the national travel market. So the Indiana General Assembly wanted to see what can we do differently that will help to grow that and increase the number of people that come to visit Indiana. Because we know if they come and visit here, we got a shot at keeping them. And so they created this task force that met all throughout 2018. And the task force in October of 2018 submitted their report to the Indiana General Assembly. And it recommended that Indiana look at changing tourism from a state agency to a quasi-government agency. And we have some 30 quasi-government agencies throughout throughout our state government. Probably the one you all are most familiar with is the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, or IEDC. So by making tourism agency a quasi-government agency, it will allow that agency to receipt in private sector money and sponsorships, much like the IEDC does. That will go a long way towards augmenting the $4 million that the General Assembly allocates to tourism through the general fund every year. And while $4 million we're grateful for, it's really a pittance when you compare it to what other states pay for tourism. So we're really excited about this opportunity to grow state tourism, to make it a quasi-government agency, to create a board that will be mainly represented by the private sector and be able to really take tourism to the next level and also be able to support our local tourism agencies and corporations and visitors bureaus to be able to sell Indiana. So that's a long answer to a very short question, but certainly one that we're very excited and we're all in about.
We have another question dealing with the 1102 task force. The question is, will the crisis management services be funded for the ID/DD population?
Well, there was money put in the budget, and I haven't looked at everything that is in the House budget, but there has been some money allocated in the budget on the House side. And we will certainly continue to work because now at the end of, well, we get about midweek next week, then bills will go from the House to the Senate, and then the Senate appropriations will take it up. So the fact that there is funding or not funding at this point in time does not indicate what's going to be there at the end of the process. And we certainly have been advocating and will continue to advocate for increased funding for service providers, but also for First Steps and many other aspects of services that support those individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. This Indiana General Assembly is a marathon. It isn't a sprint. Anybody else? Well, thank you so much for having me again. I hope that you will have me back again. And it's always such a delight to be here. You all are doing incredible things. And I was sharing at lunch that it's the private sector that moves things forward. And the government should be a facilitator and a supporter. But you are the ones that are making things happen here in Indiana. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Senator Governor, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for your leadership as we move not only Delaware County forward, but as a state of Indiana, as we seek to be a great place to live, a great place to work, a great place to learn. Now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your interest and your engagement. And also, Brent, to you and Meridian Health Services for your sponsorship. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day.